CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, we're here, we're live. It is Monday morning. It's already the 18th of September. Sure. Yeah, before you know it, hey. And then, let me tell you, October, November, December, it's like a blink of an eye. So if you're one of those people who's had enough of 2017, then don't worry, it's almost done. And if you're one of those people who love 2017, you've only got 3 months to make the most of it. And we all know, you know what happens, right? I mean, you have to start wondering, because October is not too soon for people to start with their Christmas decorations. We've had this conversation before. It happens. That means next month.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Call us, as always, 0861-555-189. If you would like to WhatsApp us, you can do that too on 0797482090. And if you'd like to tweet us, you can just at Cliff Central comment. Yes. So, how was everybody's weekend?
Good.
Hey, Ben, how's it?
Yeah, good.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. Did you really have a good weekend, though?
Yeah.
Oh, because I saw you tweeting about how you resembled a divorcee who was going through a tough time because you were out drinking at what, an early hour of the morning
on, oh my goodness,
on Saturday at a bar?
But I mean, anybody who watched The Box over the weekend had looked at some stage like life
Jeez,
was over.
That's why I was asking if you really had a good weekend.
But Mavshi, you know that I've got that point now where I'm above sport ruining my life. So there were many factors to my weekend that were really good, and The Box losing, well, that wasn't one of them.
Not so good.
Wow, hey, zero?
Oh. Zero.
Look, we knew they were kind of cuck at the moment, but that's a different level of cuck.
Well, we'll get into that at 6:40.
Yeah. But you were drinking at
reluctantly
a bar?
Get into that.
Well, when you're watching rugby and it's shit, I mean, there's no other way to describe it. What do you do? Hi, waiter. Skinny cappuccino, please. That's not what you're going to say. You're going to drink.
Do you go with heavy stuff that depresses you? You like gin?
Nah, I generally just drink beer.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, it's one of the few people left in the bar. People just started leaving at around the 50-point mark.
Shame. I mean, that's just so depressing, but we'll talk about it later. Your weekend's here?
Very PG-13.
Oh.
Yeah, just hung out with friends, no drunken escapades. I kept my alcohol drinking to one glass, and that is it.
Sure.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
And how much did you put into that glass?
It was a very tiny glass.
You kept using the same glass.
Yeah. And then I thought, ooh, maybe I might go out, and there were these cute boys. Then I found out they're like 19, and I was like, no, I'm not ready.
Ooh, 19, and you're a whole 22.
No, but I don't know. I think there's... You know, these years are very tricky. You know, there's like just out of school, and regardless of how old you are, even if you're just 2 seconds out of school and you look at a teenager in like grade 10, that's still freaky. I think it's like life stages. And right now, you're in university. I'm not. What are we going to talk about? Like your great grand adventures in lectures. So no, I'm not there. Sorry.
You're so superior.
I couldn't. So I just, you know, had to lock myself indoors before I did something I would regret. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mubs, where were you on Friday?
Yo, getting the weekend started.
Yeah.
No.
No, it was... No, my weekend was not PG-13 at all. It was very much R-rated, mature content, sex, violence, nudity, language, like all of it.
Sure.
Oh.
But we kept it indoors, so I wasn't out, you know, roaming the streets being a problem for other people. It was very much like an indoor setup, so we were safe, but yeah.
Just crazy.
Just out of control.
Well, all that remains really then is for us to talk to Amanda, who I'm sure had a pretty good weekend. We'll find out in a second. Hey, Amanda, what's up?
Hey, happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday.
I had a good weekend.
Tell me.
Out of control as usual.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, because you had a couple of weekends there where you sounded like you were bored.
Yeah, no. So now I'm like fixing everything up, you know, going back to my old ways.
I came up the stairs this morning and I heard the vacuum cleaner on and I thought, wow, someone really woke up with a spring in their step today. Taking spring cleaning to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Turns out that they fumigated here over the weekend. Remember there were cockroaches that visited us every morning in the studio?
That were threatening to, like, steal Ben's phone.
Yeah, yeah. They were yeah. pretty unashamed, unabashed, just, like, very, very confident cockroaches. And we found, Amanda, when you came in this morning, there was just cockroach corpses everywhere, right?
Yeah, just by the door there, it was like they were all trying to move from one side where they always were, like, running away, and they just couldn't make it.
On their way to the promised land, and then.
Why does it make my skin crawl so much?
Well, we had a lot of them by the sound of things.
Yes.
There was an infestation, right?
And I think that's why your skin crawls is because when we walked in this morning, that is when it hit us how big the problem had been, because now they're all just lying there.
But how many are we talking about here? Are we talking about 50?
Probably, yeah, like 58.
Oh, my God.
But what fascinates me is that how this process works is they drop a nuclear bomb, basically, on this desk, and that seems to work around the whole place.
They put it in here?
No, like outside on the table.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the bomb goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a thing that you burn, right? And then
you literally just press the button and it, like, just opens up and sprays everywhere, so you can't be inside yet for like 2 days.
Okay, so right now, like my sinuses are screwed as they are,
yeah.
And now I've just walked into the Hiroshima of cockroaching.
Wait, this isn't harmful to humans, right? This isn't like going into my lungs and my spores,
your skin looks suddenly very dry.
Yeah. Also, residual stuff. Like, what is safe for humans these days? Like, honestly.
Your eyes are quite puffy, sir.
It does happen, though. I mean, you aren't meant to be in there for the duration of the actual fumigation, and then at least a day after that you should. I mean, I remember when I've seen these things going off before, and you're meant to not go into that room for at least a couple of hours.
Mm. Oh, no.
But I don't think it has long-term possibility to damage humans. I mean, maybe, maybe not, but it seems particularly designed for insects.
Mm.
And like if you've got the doom cannon, as long as you're spraying it away from you, you're okay.
Yeah.
Not like that pastor. It was a pastor, right, who was spraying the doom in the people's faces.
Yeah.
I saw one of those weird pastors on the internet over the weekend. I was so transfixed by this dude. He had a jacket. Did you see this guy?
Mm-mm.
He has his jacket in his one hand, and he kind of he swings his jacket at people, and then they pass out. They just fall backwards. I think it's Benny Hinn, that same one that we've spoken about before. This guy is just such a genius when it comes to fooling credulous people. He does it as his jacket, and they believe that they've been blessed, and he's cast out demons or whatever. And they fall backwards. They should go, boom.
Someone has
to catch them.
Yeah, I wonder how big their cast members are, because, you know, as a pastor, you've got to start with at least like one person who's in on it.
Still one here.
Oh my God! I have to squash it like that, motherfucker. Good God, Ben!
Wow!
That was such a violent episode.
It really was.
I didn't want to be a part of that.
Wow,
oh my
Ben.
God! And bits of cockroach mush. Bit of white and yellow and green.
Wow, he was juicy.
Oh,
I wasn't expecting that. He like exploded next to me.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was Claude, shame.
Maybe his lungs were so full of all the fumigation.
Claude was the leader of this particular branch of the cockroach gang. So now Claude's dead, the rest are going to have to leave.
That's it.
Amanda, prepare the vacuum cleaner.
No, there's nothing left of that one. I just wiped him up.
Sure.
That
so your eyes are getting even puffier.
Just tested my gag reflex.
Your gag reflex?
What is wrong with... I mean... Okay.
Ben.
No, it's too complicated.
Mm-mm.
Okay. There are a lot of people sending funny pictures and things here.
Yikes.
It's like an exhibit where you have... It's in an art museum, but what you do is you see different things from different angles. So it's like a painting, but if you look at it from the left, it looks different to if you look at it from front and if you look at it from the right.
That must be trippy to
see.
Yeah.
It's an amazing. It's an Andy Warhol at the Witz Gallery. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. There's a, you know, the Witz.
Here in town?
Yeah, they've got an Andy Warhol exhibition. All right. Hey, guys, just tuned in. Sorry if you've already spoken about this, but I've just seen in my Facebook feed some assholes calling for Jacaranda listeners to pull a spur on the radio station. What's wrong with people? I've seen so many comments comparing Dumi's situation to Darren Scott. People don't understand the difference between free speech and hate speech. Wow, I wish I'd said that. Yeah, Dumi Moraki got into some trouble. Apparently, she said something like, you know, the best way to describe apartheid is to say, well, there was this bicycle and it was owned by the black people, and then the white people stole it, and now they want us all to just share the bicycle. Which is funny. And if you ever listened to Dumi here, you would have known that she doesn't hold back. You know, she's got strong views and things, but she's a comedian, and a lot of the stuff that she says is intended to make you laugh. It's not intended to be social commentary and politics. And it seems that, you know, the people there, and I'm not saying all the people who listen to that radio station, but a lot of them, don't necessarily, they don't understand that this is, whether it's social commentary or it's comedy, it's still very valid and you're allowed to say it. You can't get fired. I'm tired of these people who keep wanting to have everyone else fired because they don't like what they're saying. Right? Who are these people?
Children in adult bodies.
Yeah.
Ben, what's the station called?
Jacaranda.
Thank you.
Jacaranda.
That's all I like to hear. How was your weekend, actually?
It was pretty. It was very chilled, actually. I went on Friday afternoon to see a lecture by Professor Thackeray at the Rand Club, which
was
very
interesting. Right, you got very tuxed out.
Well, I was wearing a suit, and
suited up.
Yeah, and went to see this Prof Thackeray talk about the origins of humankind, and it was fascinating because he's working at the Krumdry Caves, and you know I'm very interested in.
Where is that? What is that?
It's out near Sterkfontein. So there are a number of different caves, and they're all operated by different teams. We've met Prof Lee Berger, mm-hmm. and Professor Thackeray does the other one. And there are interesting anomalies that, well, nobody's really sure yet, but they say that the Homo naledi might only be 250,000 years old, and not millions and millions of years old.
Oh.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Well, that's major.
Yeah, because it could mean that they either were a different branch that died out very recently in terms of paleontological time. Sorry, did I say paleoanthropological time?
Your girl.
Paleoanthropological time. Well, paleoanthropology, right?
That's yes.
The study of humankind.
What's
and our
paleontologist,
ancestors.
Paleontologist then?
Paleontologist is the guy who, yeah, he compares the skulls of different early hominids.
Okay, so it is a word, you know, yeah.
And the various body parts. Anyway, so this was really interesting. And then after that, I went home. And I don't think I left my house. I popped in to visit my sister and her boyfriend. But that's all. That's all I did. Oh, you know what? Ben and Amanda did their hub on the roof yesterday, on Friday.
Friday.
We didn't talk about that.
That's how we got the weekend started.
Wow.
I genuinely did not do anything that required a huge amount of energy or effort this weekend. It was very nice. It was just the way I wanted it.
I'm sorry. So that's all you're going to share with us, that you did a hubby on the roof? There's like, well, how did we get here? Is this going to become... like Freaky Friday thing is what?
Well, look, we threw the invite out there, and it was the two of us. Everyone seemed to have plans, or
I was in meetings.
It was too hot. But yeah, Amanda makes an amazing hubbly.
Oh.
She really knows her stuff, and it was a big, impressive unit, and it smoked like a dream.
Ooh.
It was about 300 degrees up on the roof, though. You know, everything's silver,
mm.
So you literally go there to like
I don't know.
I'm sure your eyeballs.
It's almost a bit like a sauna.
I had my darkest glasses that I own, and my eyes were still weeping.
We had to do a photograph up there once, and I was crying. I was looking into the sun. It was just awful.
So bad.
So you went up. I did see Amanda dismantling the Hubbly afterwards. How long were you there for?
Yeah, a good half an hour.
All right. Listen to this.
No, we were there for like two calls.
All right, take a listen. Oh.
Go up on the roof. And
that didn't go so well. Hang on.
It's a really good hub. I've got a Moose server head rush. Jeepers. I'm spitting up here. I'm getting like vertigo on the second floor. Amanda, what do you love about the hub? Does it give you a light head or just the general buzz of it?
It's just the buzz and it tastes so good. There are like certain flavors that I know that give you a bit of a buzz. But no, it always, I don't know, it's just so chilled always.
What are the best flavors?
I don't know how to say it, but there's some brand called, I think it's Olfakia or something.
Excuse me?
you'll do a what?
Then you know what I'm talking about.
Let's try that one more time.
So, no, I don't know, like, you've got to get, don't get the, like, cheapish ones. You got to get the proper Egyptian flavors.
So I should walk into a store and bottle ask store. For Olfako.
Yeah, or okay. Almiron or Afzal. Yeah.
But I mean, what are we talking about here? Are we talking cherry tobacco? Are we talking, like, what kind of flavors?
Go for, like, a mint or... If you want a buzz, go for mint.
Hmm.
Otherwise, peach or snow melon.
Snow melon.
Or, and are there certain techniques to get it to smoke really well?
You will hear that in the video, right? Yeah. In the voice note there. Yeah.
Very good.
That's a nice practice, you know, between friends to make a hub. But Amanda, it actually really tastes good. Whenever I make a hub, it just tastes like I'm putting smoke in my mouth.
Ben, that means you have packed too much flavor, and the coal is burning the flavor straight away. So the flavor can't be up to the foil. You actually need a little bit of flavor, and make sure it's not, like, clumped together. And, yeah.
See, that's smart. I learned from some Bedouin... traders in the Israel in Gev Desert in Israel, and they told me a similar thing. I clearly have forgotten it over my many years, because I was 18 when I first started making a hub. So that was back when you were shit. How old were you then? Anyway, where's everyone else?
Ben, no one wants to join the fun. Everyone's still working. I don't think they know it's the weekend, but hopefully they do join us.
Well, Amanda, just goes to show, when it comes to fun, it's just the two of us. The rest of them are actually just so boring. I don't think Gareth will play this long into the clip, though.
Hopefully he does, but Gareth, can you please join us next time?
Yeah, all right.
Actually, no, Gareth, don't.
up here. All right, I'll take Ben's cue on and say no, I won't come. All right, but that sounds like fun. I've smoked Hubbly before. I don't smoke cigarettes, I don't do anything else, but that I've done. And it's cool, because you don't have to... You know, inhale it right into your lungs. I think you do, Amanda.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Well, you just draw on it. But then, as we were there, there was this guy that was like coming up and down the stairs, and he just smoked like a fat joint behind us.
What?
Like a quiet dude who we thought was having a coffee. Meanwhile, he's having this joint by himself, and then he disappears. And as we're packing up, he comes back, and now all of a sudden he's like chatty and he wants to be our friend.
Oh. In our building, or like an opposite building.
I think he works downstairs.
Okay.
Well, he's around here.
Well, you know what? I'm sure he saw the Hubbly and he thought, oh, my kindred spirits. What else do these people like to share together?
If I ran out
and that's why he reached out.
If I ran out of weed, I could always come to them.
It was a great way to start the weekend.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sounds like a good thing. It's a tradition you've got to start. Well, you've started it now. You've got to uphold it, maintain it. Oh, all right, goodness. So let's get cracking. We've got to know a couple of things about today and what you'll need to start your day with. Here's the information that you will require, brought to you by Mabali Moloi and Kolkakia Pizzeria. Don't miss out on Kolkakia Pizzeria's new Monday 2-for-1 special. You know, they've been they've been offering this for every Monday for a couple of months now, and it's going to stop soon, so make sure you get in there ASAP. That's right. The end of this month, it's done. And the 30th of September is the last day you can score on their 2-for-1 special. Buy any gourmet pizza, get a second classic or gourmet pizza of your choice for free. The lowest priced item is free. Available on Mondays all day. And available at Kolkakio and Mio Kolkakio Pizzerias. nationwide on sit-down and collection orders only. Strictly no deliveries, T's and C's apply. Mubs, what do you have for us?
Well, listen, we'll get into all the KPMG talk after 7 this morning, but I'm pretty sure Anthea might also have one or two things that she wants to add about the whole KPMG debacle. Ooh, it's going to be interesting going into work this morning, I'm right. sure. But in the meantime, here are the 5 things that you need to know. Now, what would you say if I told you that there is a save-your-life test that will only cost you $25,000 for you to ensure that you are tumor-free and are healthy?
I would love it.
All right. Craig Fenter out of San Diego has got a deal for you. For only 330,000 rand, he'll sure. sell you a complete genome sequence, a full body MRI scan, a cardio CT scan, bone densitometry, cognitive testing, and a whole lot more. And this, he says, is all in the hopes of discovering lurking tumors or brain abnormality and nipping it all in the bud. It's all part of Fenter's latest startup company called Human Longevity Inc., or HLI.
Right.
And what he says about this is, we're driving a medical revolution. We have sequencing that's better than anybody else in the world. We have the most accurate data. Now, he has managed to attract some investors. To date, the 4-year-old company has raised as much as $500 million, mm-hmm. including $200 million just this year alone. Giving it a valuation of about $1.9 billion. But there is also a growing chorus of critics where, you know, conversation among employees, customers, and medical professionals basically depict that this company may not be able to keep up with the founder's ambitions and with the promises that he's aiming to offer clients. So 330,000 Rand, Gareth, you think you could spend that?
I think if I were a really rich person, I would absolutely part with that money. Hmm. I mean, it sounds like the most perfect way to be absolutely sure that you know exactly what diseases you're prone to, what kinds of things you need to look out for, what you might have already. Because I get paranoid, and I feel like a lot of people do. When you get a really bad headache, or if you feel some pain in your leg or something, we all think, oh my God, that's going to be the thing that kills me,
yeah.
right? We do. It's ridiculous. It's irrational. It's stupid. You shouldn't be thinking that way, but it's me. And there's nothing I can do about it. If this thing gave me peace of mind, it would be worth it.
All right. And then emergency service officials in KwaZulu-Natal over the weekend were on high alert after being kept very busy with strong gale force winds.
Oh, yeah?
At least 5 people were injured. 2 of them were in a critical condition in hospital. And 1 person actually lost their life. Yeah, several properties were also destroyed by the winds in areas including Durban and Ladysmith. Several trees were uprooted. Flights in and out of Kinshasa were grounded due to the weather conditions. I don't know, man. Like, wow. That would be something that makes me nervous after having watched a whole week of Hurricane Irma in North America. And then all of a sudden these strong winds come out in KZN and you're thinking, uh-oh, what's going on here?
Sure. In KZN of all places, I mean... You expect a wind in PE or in Cape Town, right?
Yeah.
And usually get those kinds of winds in KZN. That's very strange. I'm telling you, the weather is trying to tip us off that it does not like us.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So there's been a lot of clashes between meter taxi drivers and Uber, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess now a group of individuals have decided to take the fight straight to the app, to your phone, because meter taxis are apparently going to launch their own app to rival Uber, a prospective local competitor to Uber, which is co-owned by meter taxi companies, says that it can match the e-hailing giant's fares, even while claiming that these are unsustainable. It's called Yuku Rides. It aims to launch an e-hailing taxi app for Android and Apple devices as early as the end of September already.
Hmm.
Wow, they've done such great pre-marketing by acting like such jackasses right now.
According to Kenny Niemek, I hope I'm saying that right, he is the chief operating officer of Yuku Rides. He's also former Mamelodi Sundowns and Kaizer Chiefs star. And he says that ultimately it will be a national project. For now, it is a joint venture between the small tech company and a group of Gauteng-based taxi companies.
Mm-hmm.
Niemek declined to commit to a fare rate for the new service, but he did say that as far as he is concerned, meter taxis charge about 10 rand a kilometer, while Uber apparently charges 7 rand a kilometer. But he says that the Uber rate is simply not sustainable because the price will have to go up eventually.
So is that why the Ubers get attacked, because they're too cheap?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ben, it all has to do with...
Are they like, damn you guys, you're not making enough money for yourselves. You're so cheap, have violence.
Yeah. It apparently also has to do with fair competitive play within the industry itself, which is what a lot of the meter taxi drivers had been complaining about. But there you go, they've decided, or rather, let me not say they've decided because I don't know this. They're now moving their fight to an actual app service. So can we all just please stop attacking people on the roads?
But essentially, they're admitting that Uber is actually right and it's the future, because now these dipshits want their own app.
Well, because now they're going to launch their own app. So look how a business venture has been born out of this whole thing.
It took them a long time to catch on.
Very long time.
Yeah, it did. It did. And then finally, how many times have you sent a text on WhatsApp and thought to yourself, no, undo?
Oh, yeah.
Well, WhatsApp is testing a new feature that will allow users to revoke text messages within 5 minutes of sending them.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. This is amazing, but I'm also slightly confused.
Why?
So does this mean all of the texts that we send will be 5 minutes delayed?
Will it be 5 minutes delayed?
Yes.
Yeah, but wouldn't you still rather have that?
Mm. Especially like that one night after you had way too many to drink.
No, then you need a 5-hour delay.
Because you wake up late and only then do you realize.
No, that's not going to help anyone.
Yeah, but you should just have like different features, like emotional or drunk feature. And every time you want to send a text to certain numbers, it'll just have a thing saying, are you sure?
You see?
Yes. And then a yes, no. Yeah,
the same like way there's like flight mode, there should be drunk mode.
Yeah, well, and not just flight mode and drunk mode. I mean, we've got night mode. So that's where the screen goes a little bit different. And, you know, it's not so hard on the eyes. And you need a drunk mode where the letters are much bigger.
And every single update, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, it just says, are you sure? And
are you yes, really no. sure? It depends on how drunk.
Hello, Apple. Once again, something you missed the mark on.
Yeah, you could have released this with a stupid iPhone 10. I would have come running.
Gosh.
Well, apparently this new feature is something that had been on the cards since February of this year. In fact, with their last update, WhatsApp had included it in the coding. It's just that now it needs to be properly implemented.
Bring it on.
Bring it on indeed.
All right, let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Ben, what do you have for us this morning? You want your music? Oh. Sounded like the Springbok started the sport this morning.
Champ.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you heard all about it over the social medias, or if you actually had the stomach of lead, you watched the game. The Bucks lost in the weekend, 57-0.
They didn't just lose.
No, you're right, Gareth. That didn't just lose. It was almost like they were running the ball towards their own line if you didn't actually watch the match. 57 points. How do you concede that many points and you score zero? One of the biggest memes from the weekend was, if you take your age and you add it to the Springbok score from the weekend, you'll know how old you are. You know, and all these jokes were coming out. You know how soul-destroying it must be when you're meant to be at the pinnacle of your sport, the greatest rugby team in this land, okay, this once proud land in both human and rugby sense, and that you have jokes like that be thrown around? You can't even score a point against the team.
No.
Zero.
Someone send me a picture of Samusa saying this Samusa has 3 more points than the Springbok. Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, when everyone's throwing the cheap jokes, you just know it's terrible. But it's not completely unexpected. Like, look, I mean, that was a shit show. 57 points to zero. That is the biggest PK the box ever taken. Now, last year, I was in Durban when they lost 57-14 or 15 to the All Blacks. And that was probably the lowest sporting moment I'd ever witnessed. That was a result compared to Saturday. That really was. That was something. Now, we said last week, you know, again, this isn't exactly rocket science, that the Springbok backline is far too small and brittle to take on the All Blacks. But Alistair Coetzee, well, he decided the exact same team must just play. Just keep on playing. You're going to have wings who are less than 90 kilograms, who don't like tackling. That's cool. Just keep on playing them. Keep on playing them. You've got such inexperience in certain places. I know the Bok team can never be perfect because obviously certain players play overseas, certain players are either injured, or, you know, you also got to back the coach that they've been working with a group of players for some time and they believe in these players. So there's also that. But throw it all together, Alistair Coetzee has been missing some key things here. And I think, Someone also wrote on Twitter, which I found really interesting. He said, I think it's time that we must accept that French rugby is really in the doldrums because we beat France 3 times in a row. Easy sticks in the beginning of the season. So we were competitive against Argentina and Australia and all that kind of stuff. But the thing about New Zealand is that they'll just, I mean, they'll just exploit anything. And they really did. 57-0. I mean, there's not much more we can say about this. The Bok team is just inept in certain areas. And when it comes down to the All Blacks, it's just, things will go bad so quickly. They're the only team in the world that can literally, I mean, these guys, you know, like when you're a child and you've got a magnifying glass and you're very sadistic and you want to burn an ant.
Oh, no.
Basically, the All Blacks are the kid that have like a liter of petrol and a rocket launcher. So they won't just burn the ant. They'll burn the, like, the pavement. And you drop a ball, you play like crap, 57-0. It's so simple. I mean, like the Brendan Fenton said on Twitter that, you know, it's, this is just a case of a team being outplayed by a better team. It doesn't mean the Boks are suddenly really, really shit. And there's a certain amount of truth in that. Obviously, again, this guy's worked in the system, so his opinion does count for something. But when it just goes that bad, there's no leadership, obviously. Ibn Esabeth has been tasked with being the captain of this team, but he did go a little bit missing in the second half. And I mean, what do you say to a bunch of guys that aren't tackling? You can't exactly just rouse your team right under the post. And then what makes it even worse, after the match, Alistair Coetzee, you've just taken 57 points and not scored a single point. And his words were, I was really impressed by a few of the defensive efforts out there. You've just taken the biggest dicking of your team's history. Yeah.
You have no reputation left.
I mean, your team started playing rugby when polio was like a fashionable thing to have. This is how long the Boks have been going. And you say you were happy with the defensive effort after taking the biggest score. You're either delusional, you're smoking guff in the Boks, or you're not qualified for this coaching role.
What should he have said, Ben? Because I feel like if your team loses 57-0, there's very little you could say that won't leave the fans upset.
So true, Mavis, but you've got to acknowledge certain things. He could have said, look, obviously our selection process I've shown faith in was found wanting tonight, and I've got to reassess this going forward because this cannot happen again. Not, well, you know, there's some positives to be taken out of this. Bullshit, there's no positives.
No.
And even if there are, even if there was one shiny moment where some guy managed to actually bring an All Black player down, why focus on that? Why don't you just focus on the 10,000 negatives rather, and hey, maybe they won't happen again. It's the same old cliched bullshit, like, well, you know, we're going to take the positives out of this one and really bounce back next time. Shut your mouth. Really. I mean, it's just so stupid.
He's
it
right.
It really is. That's like breaking your parents' window at home but going, but Mom, at least I can throw a ball. No, you idiot. You don't know what you're doing. You just don't know what you're doing. It is so sad. And what really bugs me is that when the Boks come home now, we're going to hear the same old cliches from the visiting teams going, well, we're bracing for a Bok backlash. Bullshit. It makes me angry. It makes me sad. But then again, if you look at all our team sports in this country right now, team sports reflect the state of the nation. Football, shite. Cricket, also shite. But rugby, it's just terrible. Look at our individual players. They'd have to have this team dynamic, and they seem to be all right.
Yeah, let's just keep watching Wade, Fanikek, and Caster Semenya
rather. Kevin Anderson's all right, even though he's mostly American. Our golfers are okay-ish. But yeah, team sports, we're fine wanting. So again, Jacob, yes, it's your fault. You dick. Hate you. In football, well, the Premier League was back, and it was back with Arsenal stifling a draw out of Chelsea, which is a result. Arsene Wenger must be so happy about this because it wasn't a thrashing. Of course, the last time they were in the Premier League, they got thrashed by Liverpool, so they'll take 1 point from a Stamford Bridge outing. Wayne Rooney returned to Old Trafford in the Everton jersey, and his team was smashed 4-0, so Man United just keep on scoring. Lots and lots and lots of goals. Not as many as Man City, though. They put 6 past Watford in a great away win there. Aguero with a hat-trick. Newcastle had a good win against Stoke City. Spurs again dropping points at home at Wembley. That's 0-0 against Swansea. Burnley, well, see, the crappy teams always like really trouble Liverpool. 1-1 at home. Yes, that's not good enough against a team like Burnley. And it won't be good enough to have any aspirations towards the title, which, sadly, I've probably gone already. In the local leagues, the PSL, well, Fulham didn't lose this time round. I guess we can say that. We can pull out Alistair Coetzee and draw a positive out of that. They did not lose. They got a late goal in the 90th minute. Of course, Steve Campbell's post-match interview took all the headlights of that one. Golden Arrows, big win over AmaZulu, 4-0. Baroka had a good win as well, as did Ajax Cape Town. In other football news, Sundowns, they got a good win in the CAF Champions League. They took on some team from Casablanca. the name escapes me at the moment. And then in the Danish football, the men are actually paying the women to play.
What?
Well, there's a big dispute now with the women's team because the Danish Football Association is just basically treating women like secondary individuals. So whereas the men will have a full contract and be employers, that kind of stuff, and get the money, the women are on these like freelance, funny sort of here's a bit of money, here's a bit of money kind of deals. So now they're saying, well, screw it, we need money, otherwise not going to play. So they refuse to play against the friendly against the Netherlands. Now it's looking doubtful they're going to be in the World Cup qualifiers. So the men, Danish players, they've come out and said, here's some money from our contract for you lovely ladies.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, yeah, thanks, that's really nice. You might get a gobby after that, but it doesn't really solve the problem.
Ben, so crude.
Okay, but here's the deal. I mean, if women's football attracted the crowds that men's football does, and if women's football were as big a deal in terms of how much money it makes, then maybe they would get paid more.
Very good point,
Not everything is equal.
Very good point. But you've got to invest in something for it to bear the fruits. There's also that argument of it. So if the women's football in Denmark is not being funded or anything,
you know what?
How do they expect the crowds to arrive?
I'm not really accosted by too many people on a daily basis saying, you know what we need is more women from Denmark playing football. It's funny. I've never, ever encountered that conversation.
Look, I'm not going to argue with that. And you'll get a very un-PC debate out of me around equal pay in tennis too. But you've got to look at both sides. And right now, these Danish women, I mean, they've plaited their hair. They're ready to go. And there's just no money in it.
Actually, that's what these Danish women should do. They should just rather become tennis players. Because that's where the equality is.
That's where the money is, honey.
Yeah.
And well, you know what? If you are going to raise your daughter in a family of sports people to be a sports person, let it be a tennis player. That's where the money goes.
Or a golfer.
Golfer, yeah.
Or a golfer.
Or a modern dancer.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, modern dance. I mean,
that's
just socially it's rewarding, if nothing
that's
else.
That's not sport. Okay. That's not sport.
Okay. Right. Hard to please. And then finally in the golf, there was the KLM Open, and Roman Wattle. He won.
Really?
Good for him. Yeah, 15 under score. He had an impressive 69 yesterday, which meant he won by one. And Mark Leishman, well, he blew everyone away in the BMW Championship. 67 in the final round to go with his first round of 62, second round of 64, third round 68, and he won by a staggering 5 shots against the best in the business. Justin Rose had a 65 on Sunday, Ricky Fowler with a 67. They were 5 shots back. Jason Day basically imploded, but this is kind of looking good for the international team going to the President's Cup. Some form coming from the big players. But that will still be a one-sided American win. That's pretty much it for your sport on a Monday. Oh, yeah, the F1. That Verstappen guy basically pissed off both Ferrari drivers, and then they crashed out in the first round, first lap, and Hamilton won. So
that could
just be actually Hamilton's title now because, yeah, he's pretty strong from here on in.
You sound so interested in Grand Prix.
That's well, correct. Gareth, you save the best for the last, or you just put Formula 1 at the end.
I'm not complaining.
It's up to you how you see that.
If I were you, we could have cut that down to 5 seconds shorter. All right, thank you very much, Ben. There's a look at all the sport from the weekend. Plenty more to discuss later on. We'll get into some news and all the rest. But first, here's Anthea, and we know what that means. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gary. Right. Summer, we're all dancing.
I know, we were all just dancing a little bit in the studio. In fact, no, on Friday, Sia and Simpiwe joined these two dancers who were on Casper's show. You got to go and check it out on my Instagram.
Okay, we'll do.
They were twerking.
Cringeworthy.
No. You learned some pretty awesome techniques there.
Hey, now.
Look at this.
A lot of body roll.
Yeah.
I'd have to come for lessons.
Yeah. As Ben said, modern dancing. It has,
well,
there we go.
That's
social
it.
Cachet. All right, let's get into some money talk for this Monday morning. What do we need to know?
Okay, so there's not a lot going on in company news, like sort of results presentations, a bit of restructuring in companies, some excitement there. But so just generally speaking, I think probably last week's U.S. inflation number is what's really driving the market. The rand was weak for six straight sessions on Friday.
Sure.
Yeah, 13:16 it closed. It's now 13:14. The worst, though, it's trading so badly against the pound. The pound has been so strong. We lost 5% last week, the Rand did, against the British pound. So that's not helping us. That's not really great. I mean, and the worst part of it is when we have a weaker Rand, we expect a stronger market. Yeah. But no, our market was down about 0.5% on Friday. And then we had something really interesting happen. So, you know, we have the indices. We have the All-Share Index, which I quote every morning. Then we also have the Top 40. We have the Resource, the Gold Index, the Financials Index, blah, blah, blah. Like, long story, right? And these indices really are used as benchmarks, if you like, for the market. And that's how you can measure the market. And so on Friday, we had a reweighting of these benchmarks. And it pushed trade up to $3 billion, and most of that was done in the closing auction, because when you rebalance, what you want actually is for you want to, if you're especially if you're an index tracking fund, you want to get kind of the last price, or you don't want to take price risk actually. So that's over 40 billion rand traded on Friday, most of it in the closing auction, and you know the closing auction's only like 10 minutes long or something. Mm-hmm. So the beneficiary of that was definitely British American Tobacco. The share was up 2.4%, 2.7 million shares traded. It's absolutely huge when these things go through. But as I said, I'm afraid just not enough to help the market higher. And then there's a lot going on in commodities as well at the moment, so we probably should touch on that.
Yeah, can we? Do you keep a list of certain commodities? Because commodities, you could have endless amounts of. You could have the price of wood.
You're right.
You could have. I mean, there are people who are following the price of manganese, for example. You don't always need to know what the manganese price is.
Don't forget pork bellies.
Yes. Yes, correct. And these things do go up and down, right? Yeah. All the time.
Absolutely.
And they're basically on a supply and demand basis. You can figure out what anything is worth at any given time.
Sure.
So how many of these do you watch regularly? We always talk about gold.
Wow. Gee, that's just kind of a crazy question.
I mean, do you have a commodities screen that you watch?
You know Saleo, right? So yeah. Saleo is our kind of resources commodities analyst, and that's his job. He watches it, and if there are any exceptional moves, then he will point it out. And it depends on which companies you're valuing at the moment. So obviously, if you're valuing Tonga, then you're watching sugar. If you're valuing Sappi, you're watching paper pulp. If you're valuing Harmony Gold shares, platinum, iron ores, Lonmin, there's a lot. It's an endless number. I mean, do you have the Bloomberg app? You can actually go and watch the commodities, and so it'll bring up the main ones. And the main ones would probably be gold, platinum, iron ore, palladium. I can't even list them all. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, this is why I'm interested, because if you and you mentioned app, I've got to talk to you about a project we've got to come up with somewhere this week. I don't know what happened, but the app that I used to use to sort of track my stocks that I would drive you mad with.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't work.
What? Your Apple stock watch or something
it's gone.
It's called.
It's gone. I don't know what the hell I've
done. Download Bloomberg app. It's the best.
Is that the one?
Absolutely the best.
Okay.
And you can do your own watch list, and you can put your shares on there and put
excellent.
In prices.
Done.
And,
thank
Bloomberg's
you.
A great app. And it's got all the news you need. I use Bloomberg all the time and at work, obviously.
There we go.
Okay. Right. Commodities. So gold has come off quite a bit. I mean, there's a lot going on. You know, since the U.S. inflation number came out at 1.9% last month, and it's the U.S. Fed meeting this week tomorrow, and then they make the announcement on Wednesday. I don't think they will raise interest rates on Wednesday, but it does bring the chances of a rate hike closer home, you know, and I think they'll probably do it in December. And what that means, of course, is you're looking at gold probably coming off. The dollar's been quite strong as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the ECB, kind of, they're talking about scaling back their stimulus program. And that there's lots of talk going on, just kind of from a macroeconomic point of view of where we go from here. Probably the downer is China, where numbers were released last week weren't so great. I mean, they talk about China's economy cooling at what's their growth rate now? 6.75. We'll take that,
right? We would love that.
Exactly. And so iron ore has come off quite a bit, back into this kind of $60 range. And it's gone from kind of 30 to 90 to 60. So it really is all over the place. And obviously, all the iron ore companies that we follow, Lonmin in particular, are also being very volatile. In fact, Barclays said of iron ore that it's living on borrowed time because it's had such a huge rally. And they're looking for all sorts of things. I think the biggest one for me that I'm watching at the moment is oil, because oil is currently at a 5-month high.
Mm.
And, you know, whenever I talk about oil or OPEC, I always feel a bit manipulated, if that's the word I guess.
Well, you are manipulated because these people, they're price fixers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the
thing. It's a cartel.
Right? So, that's right. So they want higher oil prices. I don't want higher oil prices because I don't want to pay higher petrol. And so what they're doing, obviously, is cutting down on production so that it pushes, so that the supply is less, so that it pushes up the price, so the demand is higher, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if demand is higher, but certainly supply is lower and therefore pushes up prices. And it's just a little bit annoying, actually.
All right. Let's talk about Curro, please.
Ah, you want to talk about Curro, the schools business, the largest private schools business in South Africa.
It's larger than Advitec?
Yep. They've got about 127 schools across the country in Namibia. They are listing their tertiary education business called Stadio. They plan to raise 840 million rand through this rights issue, and basically it is to facilitate expansion. They're planning to list on the 3rd of October, and the code is SDO. Now, I'm not sure whether or not I would buy these shares just yet. I haven't seen a prospectus, but I'm just warning you that it's coming, right? I think it's a good one. You're probably going to get a one-for-one ratio, so if you own Curro shares, you'll get Stadio shares. But I don't know. They haven't given exact details just yet. I mean, another listing which we've got coming up this week, in fact, Wednesday, is Star. Remember Steinhoff's African Retail?
That's right.
That book was 4.8 times oversubscribed last week. So almost 5 times as many shares. People wanted 5 times more shares than there were available. What was interesting was that they said it was marking between 18 rand and 23 rand per share. And actually, it came out at 20 rand 50. So kind of slap bang in the middle, if you like. I think this will be a good one. So if you didn't get shares last week, if you can get shares when they list on Wednesday at the open or whatever, go for it. But watch the share. It is going to spike because I think it's going to spike because of demand. I mean, it's going to be a good one. And you know, you already own Steinhoff, right? We've spoken about this. Mm-hmm. As the listing comes out, what you should see is an unlocking of value. So hopefully our Steinhoff shares were up a little bit on Friday. It's now trading about 60, just over 62 rand a share. So it hasn't really moved the way it has done. And I guess it's this whole German investigation into the company executives and into the books of the company. You know, they're listed in Germany. It might be that that's holding it back, but I think that was just a buying opportunity. So I obviously went out and bought, but maybe the market didn't believe me. I'm not sure why they wouldn't believe me.
Okay.
Yeah. And then another listed company that's kind of doing a lot of corporate dealing, and this company, I mean, like, if complicated deals is a word, then HCI, Hoskin Consolidated Investments, and Nivius, which is their kind of private equity investing company. This is Johnny Copeland's company.
Mm-hmm.
They just make everything complicated. So what they're doing, so they own, first of all, they own ETV, they own BSG, which is a business group, IT business group.
Then Golden Arrow Bus Services.
So that's what they're listing. That's it, exactly right. So they're extracting Golden Arrow Bus Services, which they're actually calling a public transport business. So I suspect they might be expanding into rail as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the NewCo is going to unbundle out of HCI, and they're going to give HCI 60% of equity. They're then going to pay a 1.2 billion rand dividend, of which HCI will receive 720 million rand directly, and a further 144 million. They're going to use the 800, HCI are going to use the 864 million rand to write down some debt, which will bring their debt at the center to just over a billion rand. They do have a 3.5 billion rand facility, so they've got dry powder to go out and do more deals. But do you see what I mean? This whole like equity, shareholding, cross-holding, paying of dividends, debt. I mean, gee. So I think there's potential for HCI to rally a bit in the coming months. But, of course, it depends on what they're planning to do after the unbundling. And I do think that this Golden Arrow Bus Services, or GABS as I call it, because that's the acronym.
Sure.
it was definitely one of the rump assets that have been overlooked. And so there'll be a nice realization of value and potentially could kind of be also a good share to own. But again, and it's a good cash generative business, by the way, believe it or not. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting one because nobody really pays attention to our Golden Arrow Bus Services. And there's always such drama, right?
Yeah, there's always a problem. And whenever there's an accident, then everybody hates them and all that stuff. Just quickly, because everybody always says we don't talk about Bitcoin, and we actually had Ranan last week talking about it. Tell me about Bitcoin right now.
Right. So, you keep asking me about this Bitcoin. It is down over 30% in the last 6 trading sessions.
Mm.
Yeah, there's trouble brewing here. And so I know it's had a huge rally to over $4,000 or more than $4,000, almost close to $5,000 per Bitcoin. It's now back to $3,065. I mean, where it goes from here is anybody's guess. And I know people think of this as an investment. It is not an investment. It is a speculative trade. And it is not an investment because there are no fundamentals. It's a speculative trade because it is being driven by sentiment. So what happened last week, the week before, was first of all, China said, we're not going to allow Bitcoin and we're going to cancel or make illegal trading of Bitcoin. Guess what? It fell. Then Jamie Dimon, who is the CEO of JP Morgan, is it? Yeah, one of those big American banks. He came out and said, anybody in my company who trades Bitcoin will be fired. It is a stupid thing to do.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not sure I agree with him completely. Like, I think if you want to trade Bitcoin, fine, but then watch. Like, kind of be careful about how you trade it, because if it can fall in, you know, investing in or trading is not just about finding the winners, it's about avoiding the losers.
Right. And down 30% is a lot.
Yeah. So you could have, if you'd invested 2 weeks ago, you could have lost 30% of your money. So I'm just pointing out that that's what it is. It might be a buying opportunity. Who knows? I don't know. I don't really, other than it being a sentiment-driven trade, and you almost have to believe that people will buy into the story for it to rally, because what else is driving it? It's not driven by the price of gold or the price of the US dollar or interest rates or, you know, fundamentals. It's not like when we talk about companies, we talk about companies that generate profits and earnings, and then we look at where they are in their market share and their competition and the economy. There's none of that with Bitcoin.
No.
It's sentiment driven. And I don't mind you trading.
How do I feel today?
Yeah. And will people buy my story? Which is why people are always selling it. The people who own it have to sell it, because they need you to buy it to push the price up.
There we go. All right, Anthea, thank you.
My pleasure. And we'll speak tomorrow, guys.
Very good. Thank you, Anthea. Over to Sia for Said by Sia, a little bit of wisdom to start your week. Go on, Sia. What do you got for us?
Well, good morning. And today's Said by Sia message is pretty simple. It is overrated, I think, and people don't pay enough attention to this.
Overrated?
Underrated, underrated. It's simple. Be silly.
What do you mean?
I'll be the first person to stand behind trying your best or wearing a suit and tie to impress or spending your time in a productive manner. But in the same breath, I think being silly is very important. You know, this might seem like a stretch of a point to make, but I believe being silly can actually
boost your confidence.
Yes.
So let's be honest. First and foremost,
I've made a career out of it.
Yeah. Exhibit A. A lot of us aren't confident. No, we are conscious of what we say or how we behave around certain people because these are the things we so often use to prove our worth. But in the long term, if we actually care too much about our dignity and overestimate our importance, I don't actually think we'll be able to break free from our own mental states or challenge ourselves or truly learn and grow. So the truth is, don't be so hard on yourself. It might be hard to accept it, but let's face the truth. Everyone is stupid in some sense. So let it go. We've all certainly had some moments where we found ourselves stupid. We should not keep reassuring our dignity, but recognize the fact that everyone does silly things and makes mistakes from time to time. Sometimes we actually try to cover our weaknesses as much as possible simply because we are fearful of humiliation.
Yeah, why? Why are we so worried? Nobody else cares about our dignity.
I don't know, but you know,
we're all obsessed with this perfection crap.
That's the thing. The first,
you gotta blame Hollywood for this.
Why?
Because in the Hollywood movies,
they sell perfection to us all the time. You know, I truly believe that embracing our foolishness is the first step to truly building our confidence. And confidence to me has a much broader meaning than just being, you know, proud and perfect. Yeah. I think being truly confident is just being yourself. So when everyone is as silly as we are, there's nothing wrong to just being or doing one extra silly thing in your life and being more comfortable in your own skin. So make fun of yourself. It's the first step to allowing yourself to make mistakes, and laughing at yourself afterwards is key to building your confidence. And when you laugh at yourself more often, you'll truly realize there that you don't need to be perfect to be accepted, that true confidence we have will allow us to give things a go and accept whatever happens to us. So today's message is simple: be silly.
Nobody gives a shit.
No, I mean nobody does. So, So you're allowed to be silly.
Exactly.
All right, very good. Thank you, Sia.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, let's get our Monday underway, shall we? Oh, what's this? Groove Armada.
Okay.
Mucha Buena. Love this girl. What a voice.
CliffCentral.com.